Welcome to Sozo Talk Radio, the show where the host is too lazy to even pronounce so-so accurately. This is the most amazingly average to almost slightly better than mediocre broadcast that will be sure to astound you with impressive interviews and talk. Blah, 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 blah. Are they gone? Good. You can never be too careful. Illuminati spies are everywhere. But thankfully, they have notoriously low attention spans, and so it was necessary to fake them out with that utterly boring intro. Sozo is, in fact, a secret code word for soteriological bliss and existential ecstasy that can only be found in relationship with and in childlike abandonment to our loving Heavenly Papa and our Master and Commander, the Good Shepherd, and our salvation, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus, the Messiah. I am your host, Daniel Lovett. Let us embark upon a glorious adventure, exploring the depths and mysteries of Christ, one interview at a time. SozoTalkRadio.com. All right, and we are live with my friend Michael Basham, and we are talking about all things Irish for St. Paddy's Day. You got to say Paddy and not Patty. The Irish take offense to that because Patty is a girl's name. I learned that the hard way.
Don't call
a drunk Irishman punched me out after I said Happy St. Paddy's Day. Yeah, learned it the hard way. Well, today is a very special episode. Sorry if I break into that American accent. I'm trying that out, you know. Trying out my American accent today.
Better watch out that thing.
My American accent ain't going, could it?
So please don't be offended, Americans, if I get some of your words wrong. I don't know how to talk American
better
proper.
Not. You better not get them Americans. They'll fart you. You think that Irish will fight you, but you don't know Americans.
Yeah. They'll send you some hate mail or something.
All right. Especially on Facebook, they're always farting you.
So I'm having so much fun with the St. Patrick's Day thing. Every single year, I dive a little deeper in what more can be known about this man in history. And thankfully, we have two documents that have survived, you know, all these centuries. He lived back in the 400s AD. We're going to get into some of his story. We're going to talk about some of the history of Ireland, some other things. But, you know, the most important thing to know about St. Paddy's Day is, you know, that St. Paddy wore green, carried a staff, drove out the snakes from Ireland, threw them all in a box and threw it in the river to get rid of them. I heard that from a very reliable source, an eight-year-old from Ireland. So who would know better than a school child from Ireland itself? So,
everybody.
And of course, our favorite activity on St. Paddy's Day, drinking the green beer, right?
Personally, I like going larv. I like to go larv on Facebook and yard terms.
You know, it's kind of interesting that you kind of mix your Irish accent with a pirate accent because, interestingly, St. Patrick was captured by Irish pirates.
Really?
Yes, he was. At the age of 16. Now, earlier in his life, he was a self-proclaimed atheist and pagan of his day, and he got involved with gangs and was up to no good, and even committed crimes for which he had to answer for later. That's really the reason that we have St. Paddy's Confession, also called his Declaration. It's a Declaration of Faith. His Confession of Faith. And in there, he responds to a friend who ratted him out about something he confessed, about something he did when he was 15 years old. So he's kind of answering this charge to his superiors and, you know, and the bishops above him and things like this. And talking about his journey of faith and how at the age of 16 he was captured by Irish pirates and taken to Ireland and sold as a slave and worked there for 6 years as a shepherd and in the cold and the damp. And it was there that he gave his heart to Jesus and prayed 100 times a day, he says, and almost as much at night, and rehearsed as many scriptures as he can. And he gained the reputation as the holy youth, or Ute, if you prefer. Oh. And so after that, the Lord gave him a dream in which he was told to go down to the coast of Ireland and he'll find safe passage back home.
You mean a dream?
Your ship is waiting. How much do you know about the story of St. Patrick, Michael?
Only what you're teaching me. I'm learning today because of the St. Patrick letter to the soldiers of Caroticus.
Yes, indeed.
It's very, very long, but I think we could maybe. He says that he was an unlearned sinner indeed. He established a bishop in Ireland.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's actually the strangest thing I find about St. Patrick in his writing is that he starts out his writings with declaring what a sinner he was, which, yeah, you know, the whole world knows different, don't we? We call him St. Patrick. We know the truth about him, but he didn't know the truth about himself, and many Christians don't. The Bible actually says that anybody who believes in Jesus is a saint, that the Holy Spirit takes up a residence in their heart and makes them holy and without blame before God in love, makes them holy, which is where the word saint comes from, holy, set apart, a saint, and that this is our condition before God, thanks to Holy Spirit. It's a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and that is truer, though God's word about it is truer than our experience, because we fall prey to doing the bad stuff because we're sinning by faith, you know. We're calling ourselves...
We're sinning by our faith.
We're sinning. Yes, we're sinning by faith because we're calling ourselves a sinner and then acting accordingly. But it's all a lie, if you can get into your noggin. Well, St. Patrick didn't get into his noggin, and I don't know how it affected his life, you know.
Like, you mean perhaps, his noggin.
Perhaps he struggled with sin, you know, because of how he thought about himself as a dirty sinner, you know.
A dirty sinner he was.
I don't know, but it's very interesting to talk about that, you know, to talk about our true nature. You know, there's a scripture, it talks about it in, where was it? A new creation. We're a new creation in Christ Jesus. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Now, some translations don't get the idea right. You know, like the NASB probably renders it most accurately. It talks about that we still have a flesh, but that's not talking about that we have a sinful nature as some translations spell it out. It's this whole stream of theology, like this worm theology, like where we have two natures duking it out. But that is not true in the least bit. When we do
darken it out,
partner with what we think of a sinful nature, we're actually just partnering with the lies of the enemy and how he's deceived us and taken us away from that realm of trusting in Christ. I mean, the fact is, any believer in Christ doesn't need to sin, just like Jesus never needed to sin. I heard somebody say that Jesus never chose to sin because he never wanted to become less than human. And that's so true. I mean, like, we're created in the image of God, in the very likeness of God. And his likeness and image is all about love, and sin is anti-love. Sin is anti-trust. So we can know we're in the care of our loving Heavenly Father, our loving good shepherd who leads us beside still waters and into the greenest pastures to lie down. We're just surrounded by such provision in the Lord's care that he is a good father, that he is a good shepherd. Why would you ever go anywhere else to seek out any kind of whatever when he's providing all of your needs and just blessing your socks off, one blessing after another, the Bible says. So this is a huge thing about our nature. What do you have to say about that?
There's so many people that don't seem to understand how much God loves us and is. Well, let me read as you're gathering your thoughts. I can read a little bit more.
Okay.
He lived as an he's lived as an alien among non-Roman peoples, an exile on account of the love of God. He is my witness that this is so. It is not that I would choose to let anything so blunt and harsh come from my mouth, but I am driven by the zeal for God, and the truth of Christ stimulates me for the love of neighbors. Narbors and children. The children. For these I've given up my homeland and my parents. Me very life to death, if I'm worthy of that, I live for my guard to teach these people, even if I am despised by some.
Yes.
Daniel, are you ever despised by some people?
Yes, I think it says anyone who desires to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It's a guarantee. You want to get really godly, you're going to suffer persecution, and especially from those who call themselves brothers, you know, in the faith. You know, it's the Ishmaels persecuting the Isaacs.
Those are the ones.
You know, and may we not be arrogant about, you know, oh, I'm the Isaac and I'm just getting, you know, take on this martyr complex and be a dick about it. Sorry. My apologies to anyone
you just
named
cursed
Dick.
On the R, my R.
It's short for Richard, Kari don't
Safer
you know?
Says she loves her guard. Welcome, Sister Kari. Kari Sharfer, we just love you. We bless ye in the name of the Lord. The guard, Lord.
So, Michael was just reading St. Patrick's letter to the soldiers of Coroticus. All right, where this is one of the only original
Coroticus, Daniel, don't mispronounce it.
Oh, yeah, I don't want to do that. One of the only original documents from the hand of St. Patrick himself. We have very few writings that have survived. Hey, even in the next verse, why don't you read that going to section 2 there? It says, with my own hand.
With my own hand, I've written put together these words to be given to handed on, sent to the soldiers of Coroticus. I cannot say they are my fellow citizens, nor fellow citizens of the saints of Rome, but fellow citizens of demons, because of their evil works. By their harsh little ways, and they live in dearth, early as of the apostate scarts and the peaks, they are bloodstained with the blood of innocent Christians, whose numbers I've given birth to in God and confirmed in Christ.
Yes.
Did you get any of that?
That was
Kari Schaefer says she loves her good Lord too. Thank you, Kari. We love ye.
Yeah, and we're talking about how St. Patrick, he's talking about all of the people that came to faith and were, you know, yes, part of his church, you know, these that they were attacked by soldiers of Coroticus and
Coroticus.
Yeah. And it goes on in part 3. The newly baptized and anointed were dressed in white robes. The anointing was still to be seen clearly on their foreheads when they were cruelly slain and sacrificed by the sword of the ones I refer to above. On that day after that, I sent a letter by a holy priest whom I had taught from infancy with clerics to ask that they return to us some of the booty or of the baptized prisoners they had captured. They scoffed at them. So he's asking for the return of their goods and the baptized prisoners that they had captured. They slew a bunch of them and they carted a lot of the rest of them off as slaves. It was brutal times. Brutal times. Yes. Let me get back into the St. Patrick's testimony, his story. So, after 6 years, I was mentioning, the Lord gave him a dream in which he was told, you'll find safe passage back home. And so he did go down to the coast. He says he walked 200 miles down to the coast, and he found a ship and asked to be taken on board. And the captain at first refused him outright. He said, get out of here, you know. And then one of the men from the ship said, come on with us. All right, prove to be our friend and all. You know, and so he joined them, and they actually sailed to the mainland, I think to France or something, to a remote place, and they were starving. And by this time, they all knew he was a Christ follower, and they said, well, pray to your God. Maybe he can give us some food or something. And so he prayed, and lo and behold, a,
a herd of wild boars came along, and much to their surprise and delight, and it was amazing. They feasted on pork, the forbidden pork food to the Jews.
Who's that Christian, Daniel? I don't know.
Yeah. So that was very interesting. He had some experiences with them there too. One of the things that he encountered there was what he describes was like waking up in a sleep paralysis. You've heard of this, right?
He waked up in that there sleep paralysis.
He did, and he felt like there was a giant demon sitting on him, and he was all aware of all the dark spirits around him, because when you're in sleep paralysis, you're aware of the spirit realm, and you can see
you need to
demons.
Call on the name of our good Lord.
And he did, but interestingly, he called on the name of the Lord, but referred to him as Helios, which is Greek for sun, which is so strange, isn't it? Because back in that day, they compared, it was a very common thing for early Christians to do, because there's such sun worship, you know, in the zodiac and all that. And they said, but the sun represents Christ, and that the 12 apostles or the 12 tribes of Israel that surround him, the 12 signs, you know, that's Christ, the center of it, the sun. He's the sun of righteousness that appears with healing in its wings, as Micah says. It's so brilliant. And so he called on the name of Jesus, but referring to him as the sun, Helios. And then the sun rose and he was freed from the bonds of his sleep paralysis, which can be a scary experience if you have ever experienced it. But
it's very scary.
But it's also a gift. It's a gift in disguise, I think, because it tells you that you're more of a seer, you know. You're awakening to your seer gift and stuff.
It's a thorn in our flesh, Daniel. A thorn.
It's a gift and a curse, you know.
Blessings upon you. Carrie Schaefer says bacon's a food of the guards. And John Warrington says bacon barking braid.
Yes,
and
bacon.
Zark Darby Darf is here. Amen, Daniel. Continue on. Blessing our listeners.
Thank God that Jesus has sanctified pork to us. You know, and said that we can have all we want. Well, you know, within reason.
Saying is pork. Even chicken is made of pork.
Well,
there's an entire word that ain't marred apart.
So here's what happened next. Okay, he does mention in his confession, he says he refused to suck the manly breasts of the men he was with, which kind of threw me for a loop for a moment. I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, but
what are you reading about, Daniel?
I know.
Don't you be starting about marred breasts.
I know. And
I
so.
Wouldn't tire yeed.
Actually, okay, so I actually have an episode.
The Marty Man's first.
I have an episode on my.
Where are you reading? What chapter? What paragraph is this?
I'm actually talking about St. Patrick's Confession, which I read a couple days ago. I've got it up on my SozoTalkRadio.com. You can go there, SozoTalkRadio.com, and download or listen to a podcast I did where I read the whole St. Patrick's Confession. Today, we're taking a look at St. Patrick's letter to the soldiers. But if you want the whole St. Patrick's Confession, go there, listen to it. I try out my American accent in that one too, but no offense to any Americans if I don't get the
words
right.
In that there, SozoTalk Radio, do you mention the aliens at all, Daniel? Them near UFRs, the Nephilims and the Anunnakis?
Well, you know, I do from time to time. It's true. Okay. In some of the episodes, we interviewed a great many people on those episodes on Sozo Talk Radio. We interviewed Howard Storm, who was shown the
Howard
aliens.
Storm.
Yes, Howard Storm. Shown the aliens by Jesus himself. You know, Jesus created all manner of races and species of beings all over the universe. And all over other universes too. It's quite amazing, really, to think about. So check out that episode with Howard Storm on Sozo Talk Radio with me and Michael. There's a lot of good stuff there. But what was I saying? Oh yeah, and I talk about St. Patrick and his breastplate, which apparently was never written by St. Patrick himself. But I did find a line in there that I really enjoyed. My favorite line in St. Patrick's breastplate is Christ in the poop. Can you believe that's in this, in St. Patrick's?
Christ in the purse. Are you committing a heresy there, Daniel?
No, I'm not. It's in St. Patrick's. It's
gosh darn
it's Catholic
you, Daniel,
confirmed and everything.
Darn, what the darn you saying there?
It's in the writings.
Darn indeed. Ah.
Okay, so it's actually talking
about... My derelict kind of swept over me for a second.
Yes. It's actually talking about the poop deck on a ship.
John Warrington is saying, was he some kind of galactic free-loving hippie then?
St. Patrick? I don't know. Howard Storm certainly is now, yes. If you're referring to that.
Howard Storm is not a free-loving hippie. How dare you say about that near Howard Storm?
Okay, so back to the comments about sucking the manly breasts. We got to unpack that a little bit and, you know, to relieve people of their imaginations. It's actually referring to, like, you know, being dependent on the sustenance of, like, pagans. You know, like, I'm not going to be dependent on pagans. I'm going to be dependent on God. Okay, that's what it's talking
true.
About. All right, so they talked funny back in the day. They're talking about poop and talking about sucking manly breasts and all kinds of weird stuff. But it's fun read, you know.
Slightly disturbing. But
oh man. Okay. We're getting into some fun stuff, right? Okay. So I have been fascinated. Like every
I've actually
year.
Met two Irishmen in Taiwan recently.
Yeah, that's
and
fun.
And one of them said Karn and one of them said Charity. I'm not kidding. I'm sitting there in the room, I'm like,
yes.
Did you really just say Karn?
Charity.
Did you really just say Charity? Oh, it's really a charity.
That's great. Oh man. See, I knew this episode was just like this is divine appointment. Like God wanted this episode to happen for people to just get informed about this man St. Patrick and his faith, his testimony. It's so rich, it's so deep. The man feared God. You know, like we don't hardly fear God anymore. Like St. Patrick feared God. You know, he had a bit.
We really sound like we fear God on here, don't we, Daniel?
Well, I think we do, right? You know, but we're always like learning to fear God more.
They're gonna be like you bunch of heretic, you know, totally insolent, unorthodox.
Yeah, talking about Christ and the poop. You know, he does come and sit with us on our poop, you know, because most of us are just sitting in doop.
All right, good night,
poopy
everybody.
Diapers. Angels have to be changing our poopy diapers all the time, you know.
Oh gosh.
And I talk about that in my blog on Saint. On Sozo Talk Radio. But getting back to the story here. Where was the story? Okay, he's in France and somehow he makes it back to Scotland and joins back with his family and they say, never leave home again. We love you so much. And he joined the seminary and became a priest there in Scotland. And eventually he became a priest and then eventually the Lord gave him another vision. And my little boy is knocking on the door saying, Papa, I want
you
to play with
you.
You
mean a version? But, he gave him a version. Well, you can hurl it right there if you want me to. I can continue to read the
yes, you do
the
that.
Later. All right. Put your stuff on mute. Well, while Darnell is putting himself on mute, I'm going to continue to read St. Patrick's letter to the soldiers of the Caratarkists. He said that he was an ambassador. He says that he was not farcing himself where he had no right to argue. But he had part with them whom God called and destined to preach the gospel. Perhaps some of you out there, you've been called to preach the gospel. Well, 'tis a high calling. Even in persecutions, which are no small matter, to the very irons of the earth. This is despite the malice of the enemy. Through the tyranny of Caratarkus, who respects neither guard, nor his priests, whom God chose, granted the divine and sublime power, that whatever they would bind upon earth would be bound also in the heavens.
Wow, that is amazing.
He's the kingdom right there. The king, he's the kingdom.
Wow. You know, and that is so true, because God has given earth to man, and he says, your free will matters. What world do you want to create? And that he's saying that to every single person on the planet. That whatever we bind upon the earth will be bound in the heavens. Whatever we loose on earth will be loosed in the heavens. Like, we have power. He's given these little, ignorant little children of his, like, a lot of power. to shape the world, shape world history, create whatever you're meant to create, or you know you're supposed to be creating good and life and working for the kingdom of God. But you can decide to work for the kingdom of darkness and spread that. Not sure why you'd want to, but
because you're barred.
Let's get on the same page with the Lord Jesus and with the Holy Spirit and be expanding the kingdom of God. That's what it's all about.
I'm on part 7. We're reading St. Patrick's letter to the soldiers of Coroticus, and
this is real history, folks.
Yeah, we're reading the real deal. This is like as St. Patrick's Day as it gets, with yes. two guys in Wisconsin and Taiwan who are hounded by people saying that we're heretics.
Oh, really?
Which is why we're carling on the power of St. Patrick, which is hard to do because I just spark with the pirate accent, but I've been raiding too many pirate narvels. But that's kind of like a really drunken Irish guy on the ocean for too long.
Oh, you wouldn't believe the kind of persecution St. Patrick got. You know, he was harassed all the time on every side. And really, it's actually a gift in disguise, because what the Lord's preparing us for is like, what's next, right? Beyond this life even. And how does he shape our character quicker but then with some chisels on every side, chiseling away, chisel, chisel, chisel. You know, it's meant to refine us, and it has for me. You know, I've grown so much deeper in faith, and even with the big blow-ups and when the crap hits the fan. Yeah. And I get splattered with my own crap, you know, because I threw it up in the fan. Why did I do that?
You done got splattered. Well, I ask most of all that all the holy and humble of heart should not fawn on such people, nor even share food or drink with them, nor accept their arms until such time as they make satisfaction to God, in severe penance with shedding of tears, and until they set free the main servants of God and the baptized women servants of Christ, for whom he died and was crucified. The Most High does not accept the gifts of evildoers. The one who offers a sacrifice taken from what belongs to the poor is like one who sacrifices a child in the very sight of the child's father. Riches, say Scripture, which a person gathers unjustly will be vomited out of that person's stomach. The angel of death will drag such a one away to be crushed out of that person's stomach. The angel of death will drag him away by the anger of dragons. Such a one will the tongue of a serpent slay, and the fire which cannot be extinguished will consume. And the scripture also says, woe unto those who fill themselves with that which does not belong to them, and which what does profit a man to gain the world and yet suffer the loss of his soul?
Yes, indeed. See, that brings about the fear of God when you recognize what the Bible says and talking about. That, you know, there's no deed that goes I want to say unpunished, but you can do good deeds too, so that doesn't make sense. But, but like, we reap what we sow. That's what I'm talking about. That's what the Bible says. We reap what we sow. And really, do we want to enter the kingdom of God? Do you want the kingdom of God? Well, we need to give up all our idolatry. And the Lord defines idolatry in all manner of ways. You know, and even in greed. That's what St. Patrick is addressing in this letter, is greed. It was for the plunder. It was for slaves. It was pillaging, you know, for greed's sake. Jesus says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Would anybody be involved in the horrific realities of like pornography or sex trafficking if it weren't for greed, weren't for money? Why would you degrade your soul like that if there wasn't money involved, right? We do it. And like anything can become like an idol. Whatever's John, the beloved apostle, he writes to us. He says, dear children, keep yourselves from idols. That's how he closes out his letter. Keep yourselves from idols. Anything that becomes more important to you than pursuing a relationship with God.
Amen.
And anything that is a stumbling block or the sin or becomes a habit. I just want to read a scripture to you. because one of the hallmarks of you know, St. Paddy's Day is like everybody goes out and drinks, right? I mentioned it earlier about the green beer, right? But drunkenness is a form of idolatry. You're not looking to God to meet the needs of your heart. You've got this. Right. Instead, you're turning to a bottle, like a little baby sucking on your bottle. Okay. So in 1 Corinthians 6, it says, "Don't you realize that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God?" I just want to unpack what he's talking about there. He's talking about righteousness, which is an awesome relationship with God. Enjoying an awesome relationship with God is what righteousness is. The kingdom of God is comprised of three things: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And you're given God's own peace. The peace that there's no higher, greater peace than Jesus' peace. And joy unspeakable and full of glory. Joy that will just cause you to just erupt in laughter for no apparent reason. Real joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. So those who do wrong will not inherit. They're not inheriting. They're not enjoying. They're not entering into, you know, experientially, you know, this righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Don't fool yourselves. Those who indulge in sexual sin, or who worship idols, or commit adultery, or are male prostitutes, or practice homosexuality, or are thieves, or greedy people, or drunkards, or are abusive, or cheat people, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Some of you were once like that, but you were cleansed. You were made holy. So God commands us to live a holy life. You were made right with God by calling on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. If you want to be right with God, you have to call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Have mercy on me. Save me, Lord Jesus Christ. Mean it sincerely from your heart. And you are cleansed by the Spirit of God as he comes and enters your heart and you transform. You're made into that new creation, right? And you're made a saint. You're made holy and without blame before him in love. And you're commanded to live a holy life, which is really easy to do. Jesus says, there's nothing easier. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. The easiest thing in the world is just to remain in the loving care of your good shepherd instead of running and jumping over the fence and jumping off the cliff into a bunch of thorns like what we do when we sin, all right? When we indulge in sexual sin or worship idols. This is all idolatry, you know? And drunkards, okay? The drinking is going to prevent you from, it says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. It just needs to be said, needs to be addressed. We can't be giving ourselves to lesser gods or you know, these idols, right? We need to give ourselves to the Most High God.
Don't you, every once in a while, just partake of a little bit of a glass of wine.
Of course like I do. And I enjoy it. Yes.
The Lord and Savior made some of that precious brew.
He did indeed. So that made
Irish whiskey. Very, very fine. We'd like to welcome many people, Ravi Shekhar and Sharon Ruggles and Taimin Juan, Cindy Millett, and John Warrington said that the Bible told him to kill a child. No, don't do it, Sharon. Patrick said, when your name means father's trick, no surprise, just saying. Carrie Schaefer said she needs some hammer. LOL. Hammer time. And okay, we have a few Farlish people in the tart room, darn you. Continue, Simon.
That happens from time to time.
Wang Un Yang, Huaini. Yeah, woman, Zhejiang, Ireland, the coin. Okay, I won't speak normal Chinese. We have some peoples that don't speak they don't even speak English, so don't worry. You can say anything darn well you'd like to say.
So you bring up an amazing point there, though, Michael, because the Bible never condemns drinking alcohol at all. In fact, it says for the people that were returning to the Passover, it says, hey, go buy some beer. Go get some liquor. Amen. Enjoy yourselves. But
amen.
But it's never for the you know, you see, just, you know, there's a point to where you got to just stop. You can't drink that extra beer or you're going to tip over the edge and evil spirits are just going to dive into you. It's true.
Evil spirits.
Yeah, evil spirits will then drive your life to seek out the bottle. And it's true. Evil spirits will invade your life because here's how it works. And I've learned this from my studies with near-death experiences, is that the departed souls, those who live their lives for idolatry, many even listening to this broadcast will become these people, these evil spirits, if they don't submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who live for idols will become evil spirits that seek hosts from which to vicariously experience drunkenness again, or lust again, or whatever it is, whatever vice there is. There's evil spirits, departed human souls in the service of the kingdom of darkness, who will dive into you, and you will get possessed by evil spirits.
Well, Daniel, have you ever seen a mine that's drove the Harley, and you show her the Harley, and it looks like sometimes it looks more like the Harley is driving the mine than the mine is driving the Harley. Have you ever seen that thing?
I don't know.
It's strange. It's more like the Cerberus was made for mine and not for the mine for the Cerberus.
Right.
And you just kind of start to take on whatever the image of your worship. And if we worship the Lord, we should start to manifest the Lord.
Yes. So, yeah, back to this. If you want to catch up on what we're reading here or follow along or something, you can look up St. Patrick, Letter to the Soldiers of Coroticus, and you'll find PDF. We're on section 9, I believe. Yes, we are. Of this writing that we're going through. This is real history. This is straight from the pen of St. Patrick himself. He warns a lot about, the angel of death dragging people away to be crushed by the anger of dragons. Michael, have you ever seen these dragons in the spirit realm? Because I have.
I have. I've seen many dragons in the spirit realm.
And I have as well.
We have some dear friends. Gary Schaefer somehow learned how to speak Chinese. 喝酒太多是很难祷告. She's like, when you drink too much beer, you can't pray very well. Yeah. So before you drink, you should always pray. That's what Carrie Schaefer said. Oh. Sharon Rogless says that the enemy harvests souls too. And Tony Floyd is watching.
Wow. Hey,
and
Tony.
Welcome all y'all. And Miss Chen is on here. And we have on YouTube, we've got Bright Lord, Dark Lord.
Yes.
He says that 这个直播没有通知. Oh, wow. I don't know why, but my phone doesn't seem to be good at notifying our YouTube lives. But we have some people watching live. So
that's great.
Adrian Paul says, John Warrington, don't blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
It's true. And blaspheme, by the way, that sin is about rejecting the gospel.
Yes.
It says you don't believe in the gospel. So you just say that the Jesus doesn't save, and that's blaspheming the Holy Ghost.
It sure is, because Jesus is the only way of salvation, and we need. He is the gate to paradise, and so you have to go through him. You cannot climb up some other way.
Only unforgivable sin.
Yeah, you're going to get escorted out by angels, posted guard. Yeah.
It's the only unforgivable. Isn't that amazing how much God loves us, that the only unforgivable sin is that you don't receive Jesus in the gospel?
Yeah. And that is good news.
It's almost like not breathing. It's like how to die. Don't breathe.
Yeah.
You know?
Just receive the free gift. Because we never perform our way into God's good graces. It's all free gift and grace. You know, favor. He's smiling on you, and it's not your fault. You didn't do anything to earn it or deserve it. He's smiling on you because of Jesus and because he created you to be an object of love and affection. And he's done everything to take care of the sin problem. He already has. It's already done. It's finished. Done deal. When Jesus said, "It is finished" on the cross, he actually kind of sort of meant it. You know?
Yeah.
He seems to think he pulled something off there on the cross. So it's our great joy and delight to unpack that and to open that gift like a big old Christmas present. And it's the never-ending Christmas present. It just gets deeper and better. And, oh my gosh, there's this in here too. And, you know, just it's like the endless treasures of knowing Christ. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Let's dive deeper. He loves you. I'm just going to say this to all our listeners. He loves you more than you think he does. He is better than you think he is. You know? So that's exciting to me to think about that. All right. So we're going to get into more of St. Patrick's testimony in conjunction with reading this letter to the soldiers. So looking at some real history. I'm going to read section 9. It says, it would take such a long time to discuss and refer one by one to gather from the whole law all that it's stated about such greed. So he's addressing this greed that drove these people to pillage and slaughter and capture slaves. It says, avarice, which is an old word, you know, about greed, I guess. Avarice is a deadly crime. Do not covet.
Avarice. What is, how do you describe avarice?
I guess it's just describe another word for greed. Do not covet your neighbor's goods. Do not kill. The murderer can have no part with Christ. It says in the Bible that murderers do not have eternal life. If you are capable of killing as a murderer, you are definitely not saved. You are not in relationship with Jesus. So that's what he's referring to here. Whoever hates a brother is guilty of homicide. Ooh, that's how Jesus raised the bar. He says, you can't even hate. You cannot even hate. Like, hate is part of the kingdom of darkness in your heart. So get rid of it.
Yeah.
Forgive. Forgiveness is such a huge part of the gospel and teaching of Christ.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Also, Patrick writes, whoever does not love a brother remains in death. How much more guilty is the one who stained his hands in the blood of the children of God, who God only lately acquired in the most distant parts of the earth through the encouragement of one as unimportant as I am. You know, he actually really was an important figure in history, at least one of them. I mean, we credit him with a lot. Maybe he is on a pedestal a bit more than he ought to be. I don't know. And there were other missionaries at the time that God was using to reach the Irish, but he was a significant figure in that.
Yeah.
So, yes. I'll just read the next section here, or if you want to. Section 10.
I've got a different article, man. What are you you're reading? I've only got the St. Patrick letter to the soldiers of Corticus, and I'm on paragraph 8. So we're basically reading two St. Patrick articles.
Okay, that's interesting because I thought I sent you the right one in the
Tony Floyd says he still doesn't get it. LOL. And hi, Carrie. And Adrian Paul says, Jesus said, you're way off base, and here's why. You don't know your Bibles. Two, you don't know how God works. After the dead are raised up, we're past the marriage business, as it is with angels now, all our ecstasies and intimacies.
There's a lot of mysteries. God. There's a lot of mysteries beyond passing away, as we say. You know?
I find that, there's so much that we don't know. That I don't really preach to people anymore. I tell people about the gospel almost in like a very practical way. I'm like, look, I hardly even call myself a Christian as far as like the religious sense of the word, because I just think that the Bible should almost not even be religiousized. I think it should be a historical part of humanity that this tribe of the Jews kept, and then It's basically just court evidence.
It's so much more than that, though.
Saw that Jesus was here.
You know, when you think about the fact that
people don't know, like, they can start from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that it's real, verifiable historical documents, way more so than any other documents. Even what we're reading is not verified. You know, the St. Patrick's letter, we don't know how doctored it has been over history. We don't know how true to the original it is. You know, what if they worked in their own bit of theology into this writing or something, or twisted his words?
But I've never even read it before, so we're just reading it to kind of see what it says. But for St. Patrick's Day, but you know, like
But with the Bible, you can bank on it. Like the very fact that it was penned by the apostles or authors themselves, and then the copies were made immediately to go out to different regions. It guaranteed, it actually guaranteed the fact that it could not be doctored with. And we are able to take all these documents all over the world that were, you know, the scraps of manuscripts that were found, and reconstruct an original. So what we have is the most verifiable document in the Holy Scriptures ever. And Patrick is actually quoting a lot from the scripture here and teaching from the scripture, even in his letter here.
Wow.
And I was on section I'm now in section 10. It starts with, surely it was not without God. Okay?
Surely.
Start there.
Surely it was not without God, or simply out of human motives, that I came to Ireland. Who was it who drove me to it? I am so burned by the spirit, that I no longer see my own kindred. Is it just from myself that comes the holy mercy in how I act towards my that people who at one time took me captive and slaughtered the men and women, servants in my father's home? In my human nature, I was born free, in that I was born of a Dicarian father, but I sold out my noble state for the sake of others, that I am not ashamed of that. Nor do I repent of it, nor in Christ I am a slave of a foreign people, for the sake of the indescribable glory of eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen. Indescribable glory of eternal life, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus actually defines eternal life by a relationship, as a relationship.
Amen. Tony Floyd says, Romans chapter 7, Jesus does not say you're sane. Nor safe, no self-condemnation. You're mean, near.
There is therefore no condemnation, Romans chapter 8. That's how that begins.
He's
in Christ Jesus.
Let me continue, Daniel. They worship me with marlis. What am I to do, Lord? I'm greatly despised. See, your sheep around the world, around me, are mangled and preyed upon by these thieves I mentioned before. At the bidding of the evil-minded Caroticus, he's far from the love of God, who betrays Christians in the hands of Scots and Picts. Greedy wolves have devoured the flock of the Lord, which was flourishing in Ireland under the very best of care. I just can't count the number of sons of Scots and daughters of kings who are now monks and virgins of Christ. So the injuries done of good people will not please you. Even in the very depths, it will not please.
Yeah, that's interesting. I find difficulty with what he's describing there, because he's saying, okay, a number of sons of Scots and daughters of kings, princesses even, are among the monks and virgins of Christ. He's taking Paul and his advice for a very specific time, very too literally, applying it to say, okay, now you're all single for God. You're monks and you're nuns, which is totally, you know, that there's a doctrine of demons actually that's mentioned about forbidding marriage. That's like a doctrine of demon, forbidding marriage. And I'm wondering if that's what's going on here, and if he was just off about how he approached, you know, making a community of believers here, you know, like now you're all just single and, you know, never mind your sexual impulses and whatnot. You can't marry because you're virgins for Christ. And how did even St. Patrick deal with that? Was he married? Was he a monk and celibate? And was that just something he was able to do as a gift from God, or did he struggle with that?
Well, Daniel,
I don't know.
St. Patrick was only, he was only on, he was a saint before the...
Well, he self-described,
Martin Luther, so
self-described sinner, though.
A time where people were able to be so free as we are today.
Bye-bye.
And welcome, Chris Davies. You need to go.
Well,
I think our time...
My daughter just showed up. And yeah, if you... I wanted to bring up one other thing, okay?
Okay.
For anybody who wants to read the rest of this and read some real history of St. Patrick, there's this letter to the soldiers we're reading, or visit Sozo Talk Radio. You can listen to me reading the whole confession in an American accent. I try that out and that. But one thing I wanted to bring up, and this is very interesting, a bit of Irish history, because that's something we even named this episode, some Irish history and whatnot, all things Irish. The potato famine from 1845 to 1849 is very interesting. You know, I've been doing some research about Irish history, and this came up even last night, because even maybe in an answer to prayer, or like God just highlighted it for us because my wife had been watching the PBS's Victoria, you know, which very interesting, good show. But the episode we watched just last night was about the potato famine and their dealings with the Irish. And it was so fascinating, like what they were dealing with. I mean, they had 5 million people in Ireland at the time. And then this potato blight hits and they're starving. 1 million of them, 1 million of them die. And then, and according to this episode, 2 million of them left, leaving just 2 million remaining in Ireland after that. So a great, the diaspora, right? The great leaving of Ireland. I think this is where even some of my ancestors come from, like came out of that, made it over to America and such. Got some Irish in my history. But it was interesting how it highlighted one man in that, they even quoted scripture in that episode, you know, like faith, hope, and charity. The greatest of these is charity. How can we watch these Irish people starving and not do anything? So the queen and the prime minister, even against going against the government, which didn't want to help, they're like, there's a lot of people just saying, oh, that's just nature taking care of itself. They're overpopulated. This is what happens. Let them die. And take care of our own first. You know, charity begins at home. That was a lot of people's perspectives. They didn't want to help the Irish. There's a lot of, you know, hatred, of course, between the English and the Irish, and racism and such. But there was one man in particular, Robert Traill. He was a clergyman in Ireland, witnessing all the people starving to death, dying. And he wrote about it in a paper, and the queen ended up reading this. And this is very interesting. I actually have this article. So the person who wrote this into the episode was the great-great-great-granddaughter of Robert Traill, this clergyman. And she is a TV producer and named Daisy Goodwin, and she wrote Traill into this episode of Victoria about the story of the Great Famine. And he sacrificed his life doing this because there was also lots of plague involved with the famine and stuff, and he ended up catching that plague and dying the following year, given his life and left 2 kids fatherless, because of his choice to make his house into a soup kitchen. And his house was swamped every day at the crack of dawn. There's crowds outside his house and parish. And he just fed them. And here's words from himself. I got some, a little writing here, and says, let's see. My house is more like a beleaguered fortress. Ere the day has dawned, the crowds are already gathering. My family, one and all, are perfect slaves, worn out with attending them. For I would not wish, were it possible, that one starving creature would leave my door without something to allay the cravings of hunger. And it just made me think about, what are we seeing in our world today? What are we aware of around our maybe even in our own neighborhood or city or part of the world or elsewhere, needs that the Lord would have us meet and do something about. You know, in James chapter 2, it talks about, what good is it if you, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you do not have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there's one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? You know, the Bible talks about how when we give ourselves to tangible love, when we're showing tangible love, that we light up. This is where our enlightenment comes from, is getting out, you know, to the soup kitchens in your city, serving others like Robert Trail did for the potato famine. So just, I found it inspiring and challenging. Like, what is it that we can devote ourselves to serve others, to love them tangibly? What do you have to say about that, Michael?
Loving people tangibly. Best way to do it. I mean, right now we're trying to help people that are seriously in serious situations, very abusive situations. You know, we've got the orphanage in Zambia that we're trying to raise support for. Mm-hmm. We're trying to reach out to people in the InfoWars battle zone. We're talking to people every day in the Mystic side of things. And it's a lot more than just making ourselves feel better as Christians. You know, I'm really feeling that. Hi, Kazuko Mimi Onishi. Hello, Lisa Palieri Perna. And we're going to have a interesting show hopefully in the few weeks following. Bless you too. Have a great day. Tony Floyd went to make coffee.
All right.
And he's gonna make whiskey out of potatoes. And Adrian Paul says, all for one and all for love, because all are and will be one if Christ is in you. He is love. Amen.
Yes, that's the beautiful thing, that we're all one. So how are we loving ourselves by loving others? You know, sometimes, I mean, what I do for a living, I play concerts at nursing homes, and I'm just very mindful of the fact that this is a huge blessing to them, and you know, to sometimes a very boring existence, that I get to bring a little bit.
You're the perfect person to do it, because you're very chill, and you know.
Yeah, I get to. I mean,
you might give them a heart attack. If I was there playing concerts for people in nursing homes, they'd probably be like dying during the concert.
Well, I've experienced that a couple times.
I'd be like, I see the Lord. I'm like, great. Play more. I don't know if that would probably be the right person to do it.
Yeah. Well, usually if someone's dying, they're down in their rooms, and people have died while I was doing a concert. I was playing All Fly Away, actually, at the very moment for the time that they passed away, because the Lord put it on my heart to play that song. And while I was playing they passed away. I once walked into a room to play Amazing Grace and How Great Thou Art to a Dying Woman, and she died the second I entered the room. And I've studied near-death experiences for how many years now? 4 years. And, you know, I know that they're hovering in the room, you know, observing their loved ones gathered in there, you know, to be with them. And surely their whole family was in the room. And I ended up playing those songs for her as she's in the room still, and for their family. It was just a beautiful, beautiful experience.
Dude, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
So I just wanted to ask our listeners, what is it that God wants you to do to bring the kingdom of God and love, tangible love to the people around you? Maybe it is something with nursing homes, because they could use some more love and some more warriors of for Jesus. There's a new Aurora. There's this Aurora song. I don't know if you've heard of Aurora from Norway. I love her music. There's a song that we've kind of adopted as our own in our family. It's called Warrior. And it's being a warrior for love, you know, and the way she describes how she wrote the song is like, yeah, there's a lot of darkness in the world, but guess what? Love, mercy triumphs over judgment. Love covers a multitude of sins, and be a warrior for love. You know, being a warrior for love means if somebody's treating you nasty, love them in return. Love your enemies. Like Jesus said, to actually do that, to actually love your enemies is being a warrior for love. It's being a warrior for the kingdom of God. If you're not, you're just no better or different than anybody else. You know, that's what the Bible says. If you love those who love you, what more do you do than the pagans? You know, the atheists or whatever.
Right.
So it's all about tangible love. And I just want to challenge you to think about the tangible ways you can show God's love to the people around you and in your sphere of influence in your world.
Well, here's one way. Anybody that's in California that has any extra money to help a abused mother with two kids to just get a cell phone, that would be one way. Or if you have an extra phone lying around, I can send you the address. Yeah. There's a lot of things that are going on right now with this network, like what we're doing right now.
is we're reaching out to a lot of people and we're meeting a lot of awesome people. And there's some very simple, basic ways to support not just, you know, poor kids in Africa, which, of course, that's always there, but emergencies happening down the street.
Yeah.
And I'm all the way here in Taiwan, and I'm very thankful for the people that have reached out to me. I'm also in the midst of a huge, big battle against a sex cult, which Daniel is actually helping me with interviewing some of the ex-members of, because we're taking them to court. You know, I mean, not me, but the government is, like, it's amazing. Like, they're, I have pedophiles freaking out that they're being summoned to court. They're so scared.
Yeah.
And it's not about them being pedophiles. It's just about them continuing to do evil. And it's amazing. But I mean, right there in your own neighborhood, like, help out a mother who's being abused by an abusive husband that she's trying to get away from, or two or three, or, I mean, those kind of things. Like, that's what we can practically do today. And then we can also reach out and kind of provide strategy for getting through those kind of things. Everybody's got experience having come through some situation health-wise or something.
Yeah.
And at the very least, just pray. I mean, at the very most, actually, prayer is the most that you can do.
Yeah.
So pray for people that I can't name on air who will be hunting them down if I do. And pray for each other, and let's just get connected. Let's find out who's good. Let's see who we can trust, Daniel. Yeah. So Daniel's in Wisconsin. I'm in Taiwan. You know, where are you guys listening from? We got some good friends from Alaska. We got some good friends from Pakistan that I've met in Nepal who are in America. You know, Tony Floyd, God bless you. He's going back on the road soon. Carrie Schaefer says that, amen, Daniel, so true. It actually works.
Yeah.
And let's get him, Michael. Abusers get me fired up. Me too. I wake up and I go to bed every day just thinking about, what are we going to do about these people? And we have to stay in the love of God. We can't get bitter, but it's kind of like taking out the trash. It's always there. You got to take it out every day. So there's the trash. Yeah. Take it out. Abusers, kidnappers, liars, cheaters, all that stuff. So we're dealing with that. Major victories on my front. I've been able to finally have my daughter, at least on the weekends, first step. Yeah. I'm going to go pick her up tomorrow. So she needs healing. She's been in a very negative situation, but you know, the abusers and the kidnappers are flipping out. You know, I've called the Coast Guard and every possible avenue of government to go and protect my daughter, and guess who's in trouble? Me. With the sex cult, with abusers and liars and kidnappers. So it shows that we have power just by doing the right thing, just by not going the route of illegality. And we have so much power. I mean, everybody listening out there, this is not about being the next PBS or NBC or whatever, or getting more YouTube subscribers, which YouTube will probably kick us off anyway at some point. We're on Fringe Radio Network right now, thanks to Daniel.
Yep.
But we are trying to find a few good men to go to the next level with all this stuff. Rome is collapsing. The Roman Catholic Church, the mainstream church. You know, Daniel's getting hounded. I get emails from your haters, Daniel. They're like, hunting you down, buddy boy.
No way.
They're like, you better watch out for that Daniel Lovett guy. You know, he's all into, like, Bill Johnson. Ooh, as if that's like a big bad thing.
I love Bill Johnson.
I know everybody does. I mean, who doesn't love Bill Johnson? Like, what is there not to love? Oh, and you know, Daniel Lovett, you know, he's friends with that Michael Basham guy who, oh, we all know about him. I'm like, no, please tell everybody not to listen to Michael Basham. That would be really good publicity, actually. So it's great. You know, I mean, you're a brave guy.
Yeah.
Carrie Schaefer says she sees herself in the spirit looking like Joan of Arc. I believe it, Carrie Schaefer. Carrie Schaefer, oh, man, better watch out. I mean, we're talking about a real lover of God right there. Adrian's in Arizona. All right, we got some friends in Arizona. Tony says, right on, brother. God is good. Glad you're getting your baby back. Amen. We're still fighting, but yeah. Anyway, Daniel, I know you got to go, but is there anything you wanted to share?
Well, No, I appreciate all that you just brought up and just connecting us as a family, recognizing that we're all in this together, that we do need to maintain our joy through the midst of everything. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith, as the Bible says.
Yeah.
You know, like really, we need to be doing what we're created for, and that is to fellowship. We're created to fellowship. We're created to be friends with God. I mean, how awesome is that? So we need to give it our attention, because if we don't, we're going to slip into turn into the bottle like little babies. And whatever else we turn to scratch that itch. Well, you know, I just want to remind people that we have a good shepherd who provides so richly for us. We would never, 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 never need to look to sin to scratch any itch, because he's there scratching our back the whole time, you know? And patting our heads, and, you know, if, to use the sheep metaphor. But, you know, we're so loved. We're so cared for. You're loved more than you know. And I just want you to dive into that. Like, explore what it is to be a friend of Jesus, to know the great care. Taste and see that the Lord is good, the Bible says. The Bible describes it as wonderful times of refreshment in the presence of the Lord. So get into the presence of the Lord, people. Like, I'm telling you to contemplate, get alone in the dark with God and just pray and meditate and listen for him and quiet your soul. This is almost like meditation, but it's prayerful. We're connecting with the source who is Mr. Love himself, God Almighty. You know, the New Age has stolen a lot from us. In that direction, and freaks people out to hear the word contemplate or the word mystic. That's a Christian word, mystic. You know, mystic means you're actually experiencing God for yourself. That's what that means.
Right.
Do you want that or not? Do you want a real relationship? Because if you don't,
I want it.
You're ignoring eternal life, and you're not inheriting the kingdom of God. You're not experiencing the awesome relationship with God, righteousness, the peace that passes all understanding, God's very own peace. He wants the very highest peace for you and the highest joy for you. There's not a more joyful being in all the universe than Jesus. And Jesus says, I want to give you my joy. So do you want that? You want to experience the height and to attain everything that Jesus died to give you as an inheritance. He wants everything for you, and he's not willing for you to settle for anything less. And the reason you're settling is because you misunderstand God. And he really is better than you think he is. You misunderstand how deeply he loves you. Like, his love is like infinite. It would explode you into a million pieces if you experienced it, but that would even be a good thing, because he'd piece you back together more whole than ever. Even if his love exploded you. I've experienced this love, and that's what keeps me going. This is the driving force of my life. Like, I'm hooked on Jesus because I know he is perfect love, and his perfect love drives out all fear. So if you're dealing with any fear or anxiety or worry at all, Jesus doesn't want any of that for you. He wants you to be completely free, carefree children in the care of God. You're never meant to carry those loads that you're carrying. Give it to Jesus. You know, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. The burden he gives you is light. It's the easiest and most wonderful thing in the world to be a true follower of Jesus. Okay? And he is perfect theology, as Bill Johnson often says. Jesus Christ is perfect theology. And as he is, so are we in this world, which means you are possessed by the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus is in this world if you are a believer in him, in you. You are Jesus in this world. So what world are you making? He respects your free will, and he wants to partner with you in the good works that you were created to do, and the change and the awesome change, like St. Patrick, that you were meant to bring to this world. So partner with him already. You know, he loves you. Come to him. That's a verse that actually saved my life and brought me out of the most severe despair and depression in the world, where Jesus says, as many as the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. And as many as the Father gives me, those who come to him, he gives eternal life, which is relationship with him. Heaven is all about Jesus and him. So if you don't like Jesus or whatever, if you don't like God, you're not going to like heaven at all. You're probably going to go somewhere else, in fact. But how could you resist perfect love? He is irresistible. Like, when you really see him for as he truly is, the whole reason you have problems with your relationship with Jesus and God is because you grossly misunderstand who he is and what he's all about. You misunderstand the what the Bible really is saying, that it's a love letter from your loving Heavenly Papa who created you to be an object of love and affection for all of your eternity, that a love that never ends and never dies and always just grows and expands and increases. I mean, you're going to just be just soaking in for 1,000 years the moment you cross over, just soaking in, like, what's going on? Like, wow, God, for 1,000 years, just standing with your jaw dropped, amazed, even before you even begin to participate, perhaps, you know? Like, it's just going to astound you and flabbergast you how loved you are. Joy is going to explode in your heart the moment you see Jesus. If you believe in him, do you trust him? If you don't trust him, if you are chasing after false gods, idols, drunkenness, you know, sexual idolatry, it's going to be a terrifying moment when you have to stand and give an account for your life and, like, why didn't you trust me? What did you do with your life? Let's take a look at it. And you're going to be ashamed in his presence. That's not going to go well for you. You know, so I don't want you to just squeak in smelling like smoke. I want you to partner with the kingdom of God and be a world changer like Patrick was.
Yeah, well, and in all honesty, too, I mean, Jesus seems to get along a lot better with people who were from maybe the more the drunken revilers and the adulterers and the prostitutes than with the religious people. And
because religion is,
I mean, just to add balance to, but I want to add a comment here and welcome Jason, my Naples Christian Academy classmate from eighth grade. If he's still listening, love you, man. Carrie Schaefer, Daniel, your testimony helped me a lot. I was beating myself up needlessly.
Yes.
And Tony Floyd, don't need to cross over to be in heaven. That's exactly right, Tony. He's always there.
That's right.
I think that the main thing about sin is just what separates us from God. And what God wants us to do is to be in the realm where we're so intoxicated in him. And we're just so like he's so around us. And it's not just for us to feel intoxicated. It's so that the moments where I felt the most high on God were where suddenly there would be a connection with someone, something would take place. So I truly believe that there is something to the whole just getting into the spirit and letting him do things.
Yes.
And he's trying to get stuff done.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like he's really expecting us to go places with him, and just really exciting. So anyway,
I'm excited.
I'll let
about
you
that.
Go, Daniel. Yeah.
All right. Well, signing off here. This has been Daniel Lovett and Michael Basham on, this is going to be a Sozo Talk Radio episode as well. So you can go over to that website, Sozo Talk Radio, and download some awesome podcasts. We've interviewed like some really amazing people. Like we mentioned Howard Storm, we interviewed Robbie Dawkins about how to raise the dead. He has risen people from the dead. And so did St. Patrick, by the way. He has a reputation for at least raising 33 people from the dead. Even according to his own testimony in that letter that we were reading, there's a line in there to that end. So, yeah. There's that Sozo Talk Radio. So we're signing off here. I'm going to end the this episode on Spreaker with a song called Be Thou My Vision, which is on one of our very first albums that my wife sings, Be Thou My Vision, which is an Irish hymn from the 8th century. So an Irish monk from the 700s AD, you know, so.
Awesome.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Not be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night, waking or sleeping. now.